Heidi, welcome to the Gareth Cliff Show on the Real Network. Friday morning, we're already at the it's Friday the 13th. Dun, dun, dun. Is anybody afraid of Friday the 13th? Are you superstitious about that?
No.
No?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
You walk under ladders?
No.
If you see a black cat?
I don't like animals in general. So I'm already like, ugh.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so it is Friday the 13th. It doesn't mean it has to be bad news. And of course, if you want to place bets like Ben is, you can do that too. All you need to do is go along to our page, The Real Network. You could also follow us on the socials and you will find out all of the stuff that's going on. Part of what they're doing on the bounce is they give you odds. And Ben said to us he's leveraged himself quite highly against, or rather for Arsenal this weekend for some football, and he's put some money on it. So if you want to, you can go and do that too with Superbets. They support responsible gambling. Strictly no under 18s. Winners know when to stop. South African Responsible Gambling Foundation's toll-free counseling hotline, 0800 006 008. We have a few other things that we have to talk about this morning. Very important. You know, we were talking about making money. I don't know if it's going to make him any money, but R. Kelly is definitely looking to make friends. You know R. Kelly's in jail because he's a pedophile.
He's a horrible,
horrible person, and he's an abuser. So yeah. He's in jail at the moment, but apparently he's going to give a free concert in prison.
Oh, he's already like giving the free concert. You know, prisons amaze me. Like, I thought it was just a South African thing, but it seems like in America also prisoners have phones where they can record. And they basically...
It's not so bad.
Yeah, they basically recorded. I think R. Kelly was doing one of his shifts or work or whatever he was up to, and he was singing full on like R. Kelly vibes. And they're like, "It's a free R. Kelly concert," and the song in particular, it was just like, "Not you, sir, singing the song."
What was he singing?
Wait, they need to play the clip. Like,
all right,
you need to hear. So
we got that clip of R. Kelly. Watch this. That's a very loud TikTok. Thank you for that. I know that song, but he's standing there at the lunch table or something. There's no one else around.
Yeah,
for anybody who was listening on audio instead of watching the show, then, I mean, that's kind of sad.
Jeez.
It's not really a free concert. It's him.
But they're all listening.
All on his own. Well, they are, but they're kind of filming from a distance and not letting him have too much shine, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he's like, "My mom's telling me no, but my body." It's like, not you, sir. Not you seeing that. Not you.
Must be tough in prison.
Oh, it must be. And it's just like, shucks.
Oh, my God. How sad. That's so sad. Shame. I feel more sorry for him, even though I know he's a terrible person, than I do for Travis Kelly. Kelsey. Kelsey. Travis Kelsey. Okay. So, oh, shame.
My mom is saying I need to get out.
Yeah. That's right. Get out, dude. Run while you can. Run for the hills. My God. Some good news for you this morning. Apparently, according to the new Home Affairs Minister, well, not so new. I mean, they've been in for
a few months.
Says they're going to transform the Department of Home Affairs by creating a digital platform to eliminate the need for a physical visit. Isn't that great?
That's amazing.
I mean, who wants to go? Have you ever met anyone and they said, "I love going to Home Affairs. It's my favorite part of the week."
It's the worst thing ever because you have to like cancel out your entire day.
Yeah.
In fact, government departments are the worst. You just have to schedule out a whole day and be like, "Guys, I need to go to Home Affairs. I need to go get my license. I need to go do this." The whole day is gone because system offline is the worst thing you can ever hear.
No, Leanne told us how she went to the city of Joburg on Monday and she had all of this.
Yeah, and then it's just queues on queues. Even if you've booked an appointment, it's just like, so if it's online, yippee, hooray, I'm happy. Like, the ministers are working.
And yeah, I like this.
I will always give them... you know, a round of applause when they're doing something great so that they can continue to do it. And then this can become the new norm.
Well, he says that they are going to have a platform which will process applications online, similar to the online banking portals. Through facial and fingerprint recognition tools, a secure profile for citizens and visitors can be established. The transformation would reduce the need for physical visits and improve efficiency. Yes. Schreiber also drew inspiration from the digital transformation of the South African Revenue Service. Exactly. Just proving government can do this. They do it with SARS. Right?
I've never heard SARS say system offline. Never.
Never. We should all be so lucky that SARS should go offline. Anyway, they expressed confidence in the government's ability to turn things around at Home Affairs. The department has made progress in clearing its visa application backlog and aims to have it fully cleared by December of this year.
Let's go.
I love it. Like, let's go. Again, let's give credit where it's due. This is very good news. If we can get Home Affairs working, it's one more thing we don't want to worry about.
Yes.
Now, we talk about R. Kelly, very embarrassing, pathetic. That's the lower end of the artist pool. The top end of the artist pool, Tyler.
What the heck?
That's actually how she sounds, right? What the heck? So, Tyler has just got the Best Afrobeats Award at the VMAs.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
That's very nice.
Halala, halala.
Yeah, so what do you say? Where there's no DNA, only RSA?
Yeah, no DNA, just RSA. Like, SA's been doing really great. Ben didn't touch on the Paralympics, but I think
we got some medals.
Yeah, I think we won 6 medals. Last time I checked,
It's still going? Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, last time I checked.
Our interest flagged there very quickly.
It could have been the closing ceremony could have happened yesterday. So we have like 5 bronze, 1 gold. Shout out to them. They're doing great. I think Bafana Bafana did something amazing as well. Like, you know, also a goalkeeper got nominated for a Ballon d'Or. Like, we're just doing...
We're killing it. I like
amazing
this.
Things. So, halala, halala all around. Like,
all right. So, her song, Water, has earned her another award. Best Afrobeats Trophy at the MTV Video Music Awards, making her the first African female artist and South African to win a VMA. Very nice.
That's dope.
She previously won her first Grammy earlier this year, so she's having a great year.
Yeah, she's won a Grammy, Billboard, BET, and now a VMA. Like, Tyler, girl.
What the heck?
Yes, you're putting pressure on us, eh? So, like, I'm just like, what am I doing with my life?
Apparently, the success of African music, particularly in genres like Amapiano, which is taking the world by storm.
Yes.
She says she proudly represents that, showcasing the diversity of our music on this continent, and expressed her pride in South Africa and stressed the importance of elevating our music on the world stage. So she's not just making it about her. Her debut album, Tyler, has received positive receptions, while her debut single, Water, topped global charts in 2023, propelling her to fame. Recent achievement further showcases Africa's influence on the global music scene. So we'll take it. Yes. I like it very much.
Love it. Good for her.
Yes. Making us proud. Okay. So this, not so great. Apparently, there's a Louis Vuitton customer who got revenge. Now, Simpiwe loves stories like this. I'm going to let her tell you what actually happened.
I think you're also going to love this, guy. Okay. I think you're going to appreciate this story.
Go for it.
So what happened was there was this Chinese lady who walked into a Louis Vuitton store and she got mistreated, right? And she did not make a fuss. In fact, a couple of days later, she went back to the same store. I think this time around, she changed her outfit or look or appearance. And okay, she picked up a couple of outfits, you know, and was like, I'm going to go to the tills and pay. And she had cash on her, about 600,000 yen, which is like over R1 million in South African rands.
And they had in cash.
In cash. And they had to count it. And it took them about 2 hours just counting, just, you know, making sure that they have that amount. And then when they got to the amount, right, she's like, by the way, I didn't want any of the clothes. Took her money, left.
So she had the money.
Had the money.
They mistreated her because they thought she was poor.
Yes.
She went back with a suitcase full of cash.
Yes.
Made them count it for nothing.
For nothing.
Walked out with zero.
Yes.
Well, with her money, obviously.
Like, what level of petty is that?
I like it.
Like, I mean.
I like it. It's like the next time someone you really, really hate, like, let's say the SABC TV license people come. Yes. Pay them, but in coins.
Like.
Give them. Go to the, I don't know if we can even get coins anymore from the banks, because I know that, for example, I don't think there's a 1, 2, or a 5 cent even in circulation anymore.
Yeah.
You can't really get them. You don't see those anymore. But if you can still get 1 rand and 2 rand coins and you have to pay them, I don't know, 500 rand or whatever in coins. Do you know how much fun that is?
Because they have to count.
And they have to carry it and it's heavy. It's metal. Love it.
Like.
Yes, I love this. What? I love this story. That
like,
makes me so
happy.
She took
the time to actually withdraw the money and just teach them a lesson. And I love the fact that she wasn't like, do you know who I am? Because you know how these ladies get when they're in these like very luxurious stores and they're like, I can afford to buy everything here.
Right.
She's like, you know what? It's fine. In fact, I'm going to come back to the same store. I wonder if it was the same people that were assisting her. But I think, Yasi, you have updated my game of like petty. Now I'm like, love okay,
it.
Cool.
Roland says that's stupid, wasting 2 hours of your own time. You know, sometimes revenge is worth it.
Yes.
I'm not a particularly vengeful person, but I like the story. I don't know if I would do that. You would.
I wouldn't. I don't have the patience
for
it.
But it's nice to watch other people do it.
Like, it's nice to hear this, because you always hear people complain about how they mistreated or how like a celebrity was at a particular store and then they got kicked out because they didn't look up to par. And then this is just nice to be like, you can always get your revenge back without having to be like, well, look at me and I'm superior and I have the money and here's my black card and here's this and here's that. Like, she was just like, hey, I'm back.
But she made them suffer.
Yes. Yeah. And I want to buy it. Because also she did that whole exercise of picking outfits and saying, okay, I want this, I want that. And people are like, okay, she really has money. And then she took out the cash and they had to count.
Well, we were talking about home affairs just a moment ago, and Rebellious Ruth says she has a whole bunch of shite that she has to go and do at home affairs. I can't wait. Well, they haven't got the systems up yet, but they're promising they will.
Yeah, I'm if I were excited.
You, maybe hold on if you can.
Yeah,
you know?
Just
And as for the shops, I remember a lovely story about a guy who went to like a Ferrari showroom, but he was dressed badly.
Okay.
He was dressed like a, you know, weekend, maybe had shorts, sneakers, t-shirt, whatever.
The kind that doesn't have money.
Yeah, he looked like he didn't have money, but he did. And he could have bought all the cars on that floor. And he was like, I'm going to go in. And the guys were rude to him again. They're like, I'm sorry, you know, you can't test drive the car or anything. So he's like, all right. He went back, he bought the dealership and fired the people. That's pretty petty.
You see, this is what I mean. Like, when you have that kind of like, I wouldn't even say fuck you money. It's just like.
It is fuck you money.
Well, that it one is. Was. But I'm just like, when you can just, you know, be like, you know what? It's cool. It's cool. Right now, I'm not going to say anything, but when I come back, it's on. And no one can say anything.
Yeah.
Come on.
No, revenge can be
fun.
Come on. Listen, I don't think that there's anything wrong with being like a little bit petty sometimes, especially if it's entertaining for other people. And if you've got the time and you want to make the effort, I'm all for it. We'll tell the story.
Yeah.
Let us know your stories. If you've been petty and vengeful, we don't mind. Come and tell us. I mean, Carl says, his friend has stuck paper stickers on his car that he cannot get off. One is an LGBT flag. One says, I'm trans and proud. Some serious revenge is coming.
Yo, I'm sorry.
I actually have a video of Carl's friend. Have we got that video of Carl's friend who put the trans sticker on his car that I sent you yesterday? play that one. Here's Carl's friend, just so you know who it is. Got it? Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. Here's Carl's friend. Look. Okay. While they're loading it. And I did send you this stuff like 2 days ago, but okay, it's still loading it. We should call it Petty Cash. That's very funny. From Congo Chris. Yes. Petty Cash is a good thing. We should, in fact, start a section of the show where we just tell the stories and play videos and show pictures of people being petty.
I love it.
That's fun. It's part of being human. And you've got to do it, right?
You do. Because sometimes there are some cases where you just need to walk away. And then other times you have to be like, you need to know who I am. And it's in those moments where you're like, you know, like the guy who bought the dealer.
Yeah,
bought
the dealership. I love that. Like, that's proper boss move.
Like, he could have bought like 3 cars in one day.
I mean, there's also the famous story of one of the actors, I think it could have been John Gielgud or one of them, who got really drunk with his friend. And on the way home, they stopped at this bar and they wanted another drink. And the barkeeper said, no, guys, you're too drunk already. And so they bought the bar because they wanted to carry on drinking. They wrote a check for him there and there. How much do you want for the bar? He said, I don't know, a couple of £100,000. They wrote a check for him and he gave them a drink. And the next morning they woke up super hungover, went back, and the guy hadn't cashed the check. So he was a real, you know, like a good guy. And, you know, they're good people and they're bad people. Like, you know.
No, that sounds just like being stupid.
So somebody says here, you can use nail polish remover to get those stickers off your car. But could that do damage to your car?
I think so.
It's acetone, right?
Yes. So it's going to take away some of the color as well.
I think it'll take away some of the paint. I would not take Chomotso's suggestion here about the nail polish remover, all right? You got the clip? Okay, so here's Carl's friend who put the trans sticker on his car. I know this for a fact. Okay.
Teacher, and I'm currently out on sick leave owing to injury in performance of job-related tasks in the workplace caused by classroom transphobia and homophobia owing to my own...
Just stop, because... That's a real clip. Okay, it's not Carl's friend, but you get the gist. This guy's claiming that he's a victim of violence and hatred. Okay, hate and violence, because he's a teacher, and he didn't think there was sufficient kindness and gentleness and delicate behavior around his transhood. So the fact that he's trans is a big deal to him. And if somebody called him her by mistake or whatever, or called her him, then they would be upset. And this person is claiming that in a classroom full of children, that's an adult, okay? In a classroom full of children, that adult is claiming there was violence done to him. So now he's on sick leave to like get over it because he's under such duress and pain and pressure. You know, when you wake up today in South Africa and you have to go and do your work, or you have to battle through traffic, or you have to pay a lot to get your taxi from here to here to here, and then someone mugs you, or, you know, you have to go to the clinic because there's something wrong with you that you've been ignoring for like 3 weeks, you're being selfish. Don't think about yourself. Think about that poor trans person who is the victim of hate and has to be on sick leave for 2 weeks because the kids in their class didn't call them a him or a her or a they. Okay? So just stop thinking about yourself. All right. And just to prove it, here's another one. These just pop up, by the way, all the time. And these people are posting them themselves. So it's not like, you know, there's some horrible person out there who's trying to make fun of these people. They are posting this stuff themselves. Have you got that other one? This is a waitress. She's also apparently trans. And she gets misgendered at her place of work, which is a restaurant, not a fine dining place, some kind of like burger place. And listen to how unhappy this person is. You would swear that they had been murdered in their sleep.
Have you ever been paid to be hate crimed? Well, I have. So let me tell you about it. Okay, so yesterday I was at work serving this family that was sitting there like the three wise men. And then all of a sudden, out of the mom's mouth, I hear the trigger words, non-binary and gender fluid. Oh, and court is in session and my ears are turned on. Let's do this. So basically, the mom was trying to explain to the dad what it meant to be non-binary or gender fluid. After a few minutes go by, the dad responds in the same way that every guy that looks like him would and says, you know, I understand where they're coming from, but if you are biologically a male or female, that's what you are. And then I'm standing there on display. So after a little bit of time, I march up to my colleague like I'm about to tattletale on a kid that just stole my toys. And she's like, yeah, I hate to tell you, the entire time they have been referring to you as he or him. Great. So that adds a little bit of insult to injury. And before you ask, no, they didn't tip well. Anyway, thank you.
You don't deserve a tip.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I got so much to unpack here. I don't even know if it's worth it, but let's do it anyway. I mean, I want you to have a happy Friday, and I don't want, you know, an unhappy person like that putting you off your happy Friday. So the first thing that I noticed is that that person doesn't mind characterizing the dad or whoever by saying, well, a person dressed like a person like that would be. Says a thing that a person like that would say. So this person in this clip clearly has a preconceived notion about what that dad was going to say.
Yes.
So it's okay for them to mischaracterize or to be mean about that person and to make all kinds of assumptions about them. But God forbid that that family who've come there to pay money to have a meal, not to be, you know, interrogated about their social pros and cons around a waiter who's got identity crisis written all over her. And this is suddenly that family's problem. Like, they just want the meal. They actually don't give a shit. And frankly, the fact that they were talking about gender non-binary and all that stuff means they're a little more woke than the average patrons anyway. So they probably care more than most people. And instead of taking that as a gift, you know, these people are discussing something which is close to your heart. She goes, my ears pricked up and I'm on full display and does a little turn. Not everything's about you. Not everything is about you and what you think and how you feel. And there are other people in the world who have really like important shit to do. And yours is not. And I feel a little bit sorry for you, but I feel more sorry for Travis Kelce.
Yeah, I Shem. No, like, I'm so bored. I'm so bored, Shem. Like, can we just go back to the day where people would write in their journal, cry to their friend?
Yeah, or shut up and deal with it. How about that?
Like, also,
like, how about just deal with it on your own? Like, go home and have a cry and move on. Like, cry in the shower so no one even needs to know. How about that?
You know,
huh?
And we all, you know, I'm sorry to break it to you, but we are all going through something. Hey, like, the minute I have to start talking about my problems, oh my gosh, guys, I could be here for the whole day. And the next person can also share their problems.
Yeah.
You and your whatever, non-binary, binary, gender conforming, non-conforming.
And did you hear how she complained about the tip?
Yay, I get again. I don't care. All I want is good food, guys. Can I deal with whatever's happening in my life with my family by you serving me food? And I promise you, people will tip you if you do a good job. Like, I have the thing of, like, I don't care who you are, what you do outside of work, but if you can just do a good job,
I will tip you. Yes.
Come on now.
Right.
And it seems like she was rude as hell, and the family was like, you know what? We tried.
Yeah.
We really did try. I tried explaining it to my man. This is how he views it. And that's okay. Leave people alone. Because now your bag is going to be affected. And now
who wants, I mean, who would want to hire someone with that attitude as a waiter anyway?
I wouldn't.
Snai says, and I think this is right, this is the kind of stuff we make fun of here in South Africa. We don't have these kinds of problems. And I love it. I agree.
Yeah. Like,
we have real. We have real shit to talk about.
Americans. I once upon a time I heard Trevor Noah saying that, like, we need to do a cop swap with Americans and South Africans.
Mm-hmm.
I think we also just, in terms of society, we also just need to swap Americans with South Africans, because we'd teach them how to toughen up and just laugh at everything. Black parents laugh at their own kids at committing suicide and failing. Like, your name becomes you're no longer Simpiwe. You know, like every time you come back home, they're like, "Ooh, I can't leave you alone now because you just might kill yourself." Like, you know, they say shit like that. They don't like you. You just try to kill yourself, and then the next day, where you walk around and you're like, "Yeah, I'm feeling depressed today," they're going to be like, "Ooh, we must now look after this depression because you might just," you know what I mean? There must African parents go to America, and then Americans will toughen up a bit, be able to laugh and deal with jokes like that. Because imagine if you just tried to kill yourself and now your parents are calling you suicidal. Like, yeah, the entire family is just like, "Oh, suicide, come here."
But it forces you to deal with it, right?
Yeah, and you toughen up.
Yeah.
And then you go to the workspace and now you know how to deal with even worse people. And you're just like, you know what? This is not that bad. So even that one.
No, I like it.
Come to South. We'll teach you how to deal with things.
There's one more funny. I mean, I've got to show you this because this is... This is the bearded, it's a bearded woman, I think. And you don't get to see those.
A bearded woman.
You don't get to see these so often. I don't know. I mean, you can never really tell if it's a bearded woman or a bearded man or whatever.
Oh, gosh.
No, not attractive. Ooh. But what I like about this is there used to be a place for people like this in a circus, because people would go to the circus to see a bearded woman. You don't see them that often anymore. So I was just pleased that this was on my feed the other day. Okay. While I was scrolling, just because, not something you see too much.
Okay.
Hi, guys. I was just wondering something. Do you like my hairy armpits? And do you like my beard? Let me know in the comments.
Okay. Wow. Taylor Swift's really let herself go.
Wait, what the hell? Like, I was okay. No, I wasn't okay. But the minute the armpits.
Yes. Like, so again, for people who are just listening and not seeing, this person raises their arm and they got a hairy armpit as well. I don't want to see it again, but I thought I needed to punish you this Friday morning.
I feel very punished. I did not need to see that as well. Like, you know what? And this goes back to, like, do you, boo? If you want to grow out your body hair, that's great for you. But I did not sign up to see it on the internet. That's not something I want to see personally.
So you wouldn't subscribe to that person's feed?
Hell no. I'd be traumatized every morning. I'd be like, I'm sure you didn't wash today even. Like,
All right. How about this? So there's a Disney-themed home. We've actually got some pictures of this to show you. Featuring huge murals of characters from the Disney movies. It's like an adult obviously built this house. Okay. But it's the sort of adult who's clearly never grown up. Like, you would expect this, like, Michael Jackson vibes, you know? Like, paintings on the walls of Disney movies. It's in a Welsh town. Wales has got some problems, but the current owner is a Disney fan who's lived in the house her whole life. Has attracted lots of interest in the property due to its unique artwork. So, I mean, you might find this pretty. Who knows? The estate agent mentioned that although many people are curious to see the artwork, there have been one or two genuine buyers who are interested in the house's location and its garden and everything else. The house features Disney-themed murals. There's a garden with characters from Star Wars and E.T. and an Aladdin-themed living area, as well as a staircase decorated with Mary Poppins and Peter Pan motifs. I don't know if I could take this house seriously or the person who lives in it, but what do you think, Simpiwe?
Oh, hell no. Like, no.
That bedroom. That's terrifying. That's awful.
It's a lot going on. There's too much going on for me.
Wow.
I caught, like, there's so much color, so many pictures, too many toys.
This is what would happen if you gave a 9-year-old girl $3 million, right? That's what would happen if you gave a 9-year-old a whole lot of money.
Like, that room is, I feel claustrophobic. Like, I feel like I'm just like,
it hurts my eyes.
I need air to breathe. There's too much going on everywhere. Like, there's no room where I can just, like, I'm sure the kitchen is worse, but there's no room that I feel like I can just breathe and
I really don't like it. It's
and then, like, and with everything going on when that place gets dirty. Oh.
Yeah, then it must be even worse. Ooh. I mean, that's it. She took these pictures because she's proud of how clean it is. I mean, it still looks like a bit of a nightmare, but I don't know. Look, I'm all for make your house your home. You know, make it you. It's got to be individual. You're going to have your things around you. Yes. You collect stuff, put that stuff out there for people to see, for you to see, not even for other people. If you want a waterbed, get a waterbed. If you like having paintings or mirrors on the ceiling, you can do that too. But this is a little extreme. I find it a bit disturbing. And I it indicates to me that this person may have a couple of problems.
No, a lot. Lots. Lots of problems. And we just need to get to a point where certain things shouldn't be normalized, and houses that are chaotic like that should not be the norm. Like, in my humble opinion, you can't have guests around because there's a lot going on. Like, what if for me, I'm like, I don't like pink. Now I can't visit you because there's pink everywhere.
Yeah, that's a lot of pink. Especially that mural with the little house made of candy and the donuts. All over. I imagine looking at that every day. Horrible. Oh, my God. All right. So let's turn from the sublime or the ridiculous to the sublime, because we're going to be starting a brand new show called Let's Talk Man. And it's not a guy's show, but the doctors on it are guys, and they're going to be talking about all kinds of medical stuff. You may have already recognized some of them. They've already had their own show going for a while. And one of those doctors is here with us this morning, Brendan Matthews, who's not afraid to have his say and stir the pot. How are you, Brendan? Nice to see you, dude.
Good, man. Good. Really you like good it? To be here. Great. Doing
good.
Well.
Thank Happy you so Friday, much. Man.
Thank you. You guys are looking all bright and
we wake up early. We're happy on
it's
Friday.
A Friday.
So yeah. You've got a background in family medicine.
That's right.
And I'm curious about how you got to know the other guys on the podcast too, because this is something that clearly works. There are lots of those shows in America with doctors, and people love those shows because they bring their problems, embarrassing problems, personal issues, things that most of us would not want to talk about. And they go on TV and they're like, well, doctor, I've got this growth right here. Mm. And then the doctor goes, let me have a look. And I mean, you've seen some weird shit as a doctor, right?
It's actually weird that those things are on TV, but we've reached that point where we just show anything, or talk about anything, you know. And I think that's actually what we picked up on, is that they do it in other countries. They talk about everything in other countries, but not really in South Africa, really, you know, do we? Do we speak as openly about issues? You know, we started as a men's podcast.
Yeah. And how did it all start? Tell us.
Funny story. But we all friends, okay?
Okay.
We went to medical school together.
Uh-huh.
We lived in the same res together. And we spoke a lot of crap together. And
you're all funny. I mean, I've watched a couple of the episodes, and you guys really are funny. I mean, Sahail, who kind of, I think he put it all together.
Yeah.
Sahail's also a comedian, and there's only one other comedian doctor I know, and that's Riyad Musa, right?
Yes.
It's not usually a combo that happens so often.
True.
But you guys are all funny. You take yourselves not very seriously. Some of the issues you discuss are hilarious. So I think it's a nice fresh perspective on medicine.
Yes. Sahail actually is not really the brains behind it. You know?
Oh.
Yeah, we just decided we used to get together for breakfasts, you know, like on the weekends, and talk about these things. And we're like, why don't we put a camera in front of us and start talking about
it? So don't give Sahail all the credit.
Yeah, so don't give Sahail all the credit.
I agree.
But so it's exactly what you're saying. You know, we want to give South Africans, men in particular, but, you know, South Africans as a whole, a voice again, you know, to feel heard through us. By us, you know, speaking about all the issues that we do speak about, speaking about them in the way that we speak about them, you know, just
you know what I
relaxed.
You know what I liked about the fact that you were doing this men's health podcast, and Lindy Dooley says she's very excited about the new show. So yeah, it's going to start next week. We'll give you all the details. Follow us on the socials for more. But what I like about that is, Sipiwe, you'll back me on this, I think. Guys are different to girls.
Oh, hell yes.
If we have a sore something, we go, I'll just wait a week.
Yeah.
Let's see if it gets better. Whereas to their credit, women know that if something is wrong, if something doesn't feel right, you must go and get it sorted earlier rather than later. And guys don't sit, like, often women will talk about, like, oh, I found a lump or whatever. Guys don't talk about that stuff. And we should encourage them, especially here in South Africa. There's almost like a, it's almost like a pride thing. And it's stupid, because the earlier you get treatment for whatever's going on, the likelier you are to sort it out and get on with your life. Sure. But guys are like, ah, well, we'll see. Maybe in 3 weeks when I get back from my trip, when I finished this important thing at work, when, you know, my wife is at home or whatever and she's not at work, then I'll go. It's a weird thing with guys. Do you agree with me though, Brendan? This Definitely. Is a true like reflection of men and their pride.
And you mentioned, you know, I've got a background in family medicine.
Yeah.
So I work at a primary level and I see this almost on a daily, you know. I would like to ask Simpiwe, why is it that women are so proactive and why is it that when you see something, you run to the doctor? From a man's point of view, you know, you'd see things presenting so late. So they'll come and you'd ask them.
Festering wound.
You know, festering discharge.
And oh my God, a discharge. That's always a great word.
And you're like, so how long has this been there for? No. A
couple of years.
Yeah. About 4 or 5 weeks.
Oh, guys.
And it's just like, you know, how do you walk around with this? You know, thinking it's going to get better and, you know, go about their normal lives. And it's, I think there's a lot behind it. It's fear. So men are very scared. Men are actually very fickle, very, we're very, what's the word? Vulnerable, but we don't want to.
We don't want anyone to know.
We don't want anyone to
like,
know.
Like, I'm sure that the guys, you can correct me if I'm wrong here. I'm sure guys, when you're doing injections and things, are way more squeamish than girls.
Worse than children.
There we go. Even kids are better.
Have you guys not seen yourselves when you are sick? The man flu.
Oh, yeah. That's a real thing, hey?
No, what Garrett's saying is true about the injections. Like, they would come full of stab wounds, you know. They've been in a fight, but they don't want the injection to take the pain away. You know?
And
it doesn't make sense to us, but you were fighting, you know. So the guy was coming at you with a knife and you went to him. Yeah, I did. So now injection? Ay, Saba, I'm scared of injection, you know.
So what is being a specialist family physician involve?
So this is, it's really nice that you're asking me this, because I think the way healthcare in South Africa is set to be going, presumably what our government wants to take us with the NHI.
Oh, God, and all help of us, that.
I am proud to say that family physicians, of which I'm recently qualified as, are going to play a big role in that. So just to explain a little bit, if you'll allow, like the way the healthcare system is set up in South Africa is, you know, primary, then you have regional, which is like your secondary, and then your tertiary, which is your Baragwanath and Joburg Gen hospitals and so forth. And then in the primary sector, it's actually described as district. Okay, so it's district, regional, tertiary.
Okay.
And then within the district system, that is your primary, and district encompasses small clinics, bigger clinics, and district hospitals, which are small hospitals, you know. It's difficult to describe it in Gauteng, because Gauteng is not rural. I mean, Soweto is even urban now, you know. You can't say it's a rural area. But, you know, if you think of all our other provinces, Mpumalanga specifically, you know, you'd have a town that has clinics. And then about 10 kilometers away, you have a district hospital where you go if the clinics can't manage you. And then from there, they'll refer you if they can't manage you.
To one of those big hospitals.
To the bigger hospitals.
Okay.
And then they'll refer you to Pretoria, to Steve Biko, if they can't manage. You know, it's like a referral system. And so family physicians function within the district setting, which is the small hospital.
Okay.
As well as the clinics.
Closest to the people, actually.
Closest to the people. Actually, within, you know, among the people.
Yeah.
And basically, I'm supposed to be a specialist in everything.
That's, well, people come to you
with
their...
That's what we train.
You're the first port of call.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. So we provide, you know, clinical services as family physicians. We also capacity builders, trainers, teachers. We involved with governance.
Yeah.
Corporate and clinical. So there's quite a lot to do at a ground level, yeah.
So, Brendan, we were talking earlier about how hard doctors in this country work, and they do. I mean, there's been a lot of noise this week. I was speaking to Suhail yesterday about Tom London and Helen Joseph Hospital, and he put a vlog out on TikTok, which I saw watched.
That, yeah.
And there's suddenly a lot of attention with NHI on the horizon. People are asking questions, and people are taking very seriously, and we should, our own kind of medical insurance situation, where we would go if we ended up with some terrible disease, where we go for medicine, what kinds of systems we have in place. But the doctors in this country work very hard. They work long hours. And Simpiwe and I were talking about earlier how, you know, some people have hard jobs. What's the longest shift you've pulled?
I would say 36 hours.
What?
Jesus, with no sleep.
With no sleep.
Yes, how awake. Can you even function after that?
So, yes. And you know that now that you mentioned Tom London, and this is, you know, all throughout the country and social media, there's a lot to be said, man. There's a lot to be said. And I've reached a point by analyzing both sides and obviously being a doctor is that I understand both sides.
Yeah.
You know, I understand his grievances and all the millions of South Africans who use our public health sector's
grievances. And most of them who have no voice. I mean, at least he's got.
Exactly.
You know, but for better or worse, he's got an audience.
Yes.
And that's how he got this out there and made it an issue. And I think the health department are forced to take it seriously.
Definitely. No, you know, I went into primary care because I'm very aware of that our communities, our people in our communities using primary care services are voiceless.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a voice. And I wanted to be an advocate for them. And treat them as humanly possible. And all doctors, let me not say all, majority of doctors have that same, you know, concept or thinking or way of practicing. But the night before the Tom London video came on, I was pulling a 30-hour shift.
Yes.
And it was about 3 a.m.
How do you do that? I mean, just explain to me how that even works.
How do you prepare for that?
Yeah, I haven't slept for a night, and you're talking about more than one night.
Yes.
You're talking about like two consecutive days with no sleep.
Sure.
That, I can't stay awake. I start going like,
yes,
this, put me behind the wheel of a car, I'm deadly.
They say doctors will rest, but let's say you haven't slept for 24 hours and you put your head down and someone wakes you up 30 minutes later. How does that, do you
sleep.
Feel?
That's
it's like it's worse, it's like you shouldn't have slept.
Yeah.
Because you wake up even feeling worse. So
but
sometimes.
Why are doctors pulling such long hours? This isn't good for the patients. It's not good for the doctors.
Yes.
Is it because we have too few doctors and they're overworked?
So you could say that, but there's also a culture that's been going on for many, many years. I wouldn't say exactly, but it's sort of like when you are a doctor, this is what is expected of you. There's been articles and studies done for tens and tens of years showing that when you haven't slept for over, you know, the period, over 24 hours, you're worse than a drunk person.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't exactly want you doing surgery on me when I'm...
exactly.
You know, I need something simple done and you're like half asleep.
And it's mostly adrenaline. You know, I think that pushes you. It's also the fact that you know that if I'm not present in this moment, this person might lose their life.
Yeah, the stakes are high.
They are consistently high throughout your shift that you are doing. But the point I wanted to get to is that I'm very aware of how I treat people. It's part of me as a family physician. You have to. When I train medical students or interns, out of 30 minutes of me talking to them about how to take a history, 10 minutes I spend with them of how to interact, building a rapport, you know, how to communicate. And some of them look at me funny, like, why are we wasting time on this? But now we have the evidence as to why we need to spend time on this. But that night, I remember I just put my head down and the security knocked, "Doc, patience." And I got up, you know, you sit on the edge of your bed, you say some curse words to yourself. What am I doing? You know, why did I choose this? And I was so done. And I got into the consulting room and the patient walked in and I just said, "What's wrong?" You know, and they were like, "Hello, doctor." And I just said, "Please, can I have your file?" And, you know, everything was out the window of who I am. Hello.
Yeah.
You know, And then the morning, Tom London's video. Like, oh no. My gosh. Do I blame myself? You know, can that patient blame me? It's a discussion that we could probably have. You know, I'm so overworked. I'm so tired. I've got no humanity left inside of me.
Yeah, no, no. It's dude, we can't expect doctors to be superhuman. And then people also throw the fact that you earn money in your faces. This I find very bizarre. It's like the same people who are expecting free or cheap medical care are then also resentful when they see a doctor driving a nice car or whatever else.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so stupid. This is the one reward you get for yourself. And frankly, what anyone does with their money is none of your business.
Yes.
And if you're pulling 36-hour shifts, I'm happy for you to be paid properly. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
I'd prefer that you were paid properly and you didn't have to do long shifts as well, but that's not my choice. So what kinds of funny and wacky and weird shit have you seen lately? Because this is always my favorite subject with doctors. Is, and I know it's what you guys talk about too, is you talk about all the crazy shit you see. And you don't have to mention names because that would ruin all kinds of ethical and moral questions in your profession. But you can tell us about some of the weird stuff you've seen. Mm.
No, for sure. And this is what makes up a big part of our podcast as well.
For sure.
We sometimes start off the podcast with a weird and wonderful story that we've seen. And for some reason, they've always got to do with genitals. Or
because people, I mean, so listen to this guy. Barely Vocal Media says, I know someone who's peeing blood for a year.
A year?
A year. And he didn't go to the doctor. He eventually found out there was a growth in his bladder from smoking.
Yes.
James, did you hear that?
Yes, sis.
Because James smokes.
So you might not correlate the two in your mind.
No, because you would think lungs.
Yes.
What's it doing in your bladder?
Bladder cancer. Smoking is one of the direct causes of bladder cancer.
Really?
Yeah. And that's one that's not really, you know, thought about. Or maybe perhaps spoken about as well. Yeah, but, the common thing is that, like I said, it's always got to do with genitals, you know, for some reason.
Yeah.
And
very embarrassing.
Yes. And they've got to do with the bedroom. So one that I recently saw.
Go on.
It's weird because yesterday I gave a lecture on sexual health and sexual history taking at the university, and they couldn't get enough of this story. But people using what we call what word can I use? The cock ring.
Okay.
But homemade ones, you know,
out of what?
You know, like the washers that are under the taps that are on taps and.
And then of course,
and then they constrict
and they can't get it off.
You know. That was
and
that
those washers are the metal ones.
The metal ones,
yes.
The metal washers.
That's very bad.
Horrible.
The one that I saw, I wasn't sure because I do work a bit under the hood of a car as well. It's what I grew up doing. You know, I
went from car, operating person, cars, potato. You know,
there's certain clamps that go on the water pipes on cars that you turn.
Yeah,
if you've seen.
Yes,
even those type of ones.
That you with a screw, and then it kind of makes it tighter.
So people go underneath the car. Take those clamps and then they put it.
people are chasing orgasms.
And I hope I'm not giving people ideas.
No. But I mean, that's very, very funny for you. Yes. But you have to be super serious in the moment, right? Because this person is now, it's taken a lot of courage for them to come to you.
Actually come.
They must be in huge pain. Mm. There are possibly much worse things going on because that blood is going to start causing big trouble.
And might have been there for 2 days already because he didn't come initially.
I mean, there's damage to the blood vessels.
No,
there's
definitely, and to the penis. And
the penis might not work
again. Amputated, you know. But what I like.
Have you ever amputated a penis?
Not me personally. Vish, who's also on the gentleman's
clinic. Have you had to screw back?
Suture a scrotum that's been, you know, chopped by the wife or the girlfriend. So cut with the bottle. So she went directly there with the broken bottle. And his testicles and scrotum was open. No. Thank goodness.
Oh, my God.
They were.
It's a lot of blood, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing about the genitals.
But what I like
big
about
blood
the
supply.
What
so
I like
a lot
about
of
the clamp, that one that you can screw. It can release pressure, improve pressure. You know? during sexual
intercourse. Are you suggesting this?
No, I'm just thinking.
This is what he's saying. If you do this correctly, you can have such great orgasms.
I've heard horrible stories about like you having to take deodorant cans out of people's assholes. Yes.
All kinds
of terrible things.
Yeah. No, that definitely does happen.
Yes.
And now you need to be more open to it and understand that there are reasons why they do this. They enjoy this and perhaps they don't have a space to talk about it. And the wife doesn't know because she's going to leave him if he knows he likes. So he has to do it in private and now he uses a deodorant can.
Yes, exactly. Oh, my God. Wow.
So, you know, as a family physician, you have to think out of the box. You have to ask, okay, why did he have to do this? You ask why 5 times. Why is there a deodorant can up your backside?
Mm.
Okay. No, because, and then you get an answer and you ask why.
And they
why.
Fell and it went up by mistake, right? Because they don't want to admit what they were doing.
Exactly.
Jesus, that's unbelievable. Being open to it is how we got into this mess in the first place, says Carl. It was one time and I slipped and fell on that can. Bitcoin Boot says, my grandfather had a pain in his bum the other night. He told me he stuffed Zambuck up there and went back to sleep. What do you need a doctor for? Zambuck.
What? Like
Zambuck up your ass.
The Zambuck. Like,
yeah.
This.
There you go. That's the one. No, that's the one. Did you prescribe that?
Like what?
You must just. You guys are weird. Like in cases like that with like the deodorant, are you allowed to afterwards, I'm sure if the patient is okay, to kind of recommend alternative things to do besides putting deodorant up there?
So this is what I spoke about yesterday when I gave a lecture to the students at WITS, is that you're supposed to be there to provide, firstly, to get this before it happens, to ask, I mean, Gareth, does your doctor know if you're sexually active or not?
No, but if they ask, I have to answer, right? And yes. I did go for an HIV test the other day for my usual annual health checkup. And even though you know, you think you know, you're safe. You're always like at that moment.
When the lady's about to prick you, you know.
Yeah, you're like,
You start thinking, where could I have potentially gotten
from? Exactly. You go over
from,
like the last 6 to 8 months of your life. You're like, what could I have done? Because if obviously, you know, there's some diseases you just don't want to have. You don't want to be on medicine for the rest of your life. And South Africa hasn't got a good record in this respect.
Yeah, no, you know. For sure. I mean, historically, especially if you think about
people do stupid stuff.
So has your doctor ever asked you, are you having the type of sex that you wish to have?
Wow.
No, I feel like that's a very intrusive question.
No, it shouldn't be intrusive.
So Simpiwe would immediately fire you as a doctor.
You wouldn't
you
come back
stop
to me
and
again.
Are you sexually active? Yes or no? No, and then I'm like, okay. And
what do you mean, though, when a doctor says that? What does the doctor mean?
Because if you're in a monogamous relationship and I know the missionaries came and said that you have to do it this way and this is missionary. But you don't subscribe to missionary, but your partner does. Your partner's like, when we get on the bed, you do it this way only. But your mind is like, I need Zambuck, I need
deodorant.
I suppose that's the most diplomatic way you can ask, right?
Exactly. And that's how you get these things out before.
And what kind of answers do you get to that question?
So it depends also on how good the person knows you. But if they really know you and you've built that rapport, they'll explain to you that, you know, doc, I know I've said, you know that I have a wife, but for the past few months, I've actually have another person, you know, I have a girlfriend as well, or I have a boyfriend because I'm scared to bring up the fact that I'd like to explore, you know, anal sex with my partner. Or I mentioned to her once and she brought out holy water.
Or
and,
I'm going to Machoshas every other week.
Exactly.
You know? You need to be open about this stuff. Do you hear Flex and James? You need to just be open about it. No one gets hurt. You just say, how many machoshas this week?
Exactly.
Let's check there isn't a discharge.
Then we can protect you from that, you know? Protect you from discharges that are going to be there for a month before you come to me.
Okay.
Hepatitis B, hepatitis A, vaccinations, and, testing what's this pre-exposure prophylaxis,
right?
So giving you medication.
And I mean, Homotso says, my doctor is so cool, I can speak to him openly. Yeah. You want to be that kind of doctor. And you want to have patients who can trust you, because then you can advise them properly. If they're hiding stuff from you, you can't figure out what's going on sometimes.
You can't figure out. And I think we forget that people are sexual beings, you know. We might see an elderly person. I'll give you one story. I saw a man who was in his 70s.
Yeah.
And I was going to put a urinary catheter in for him. And he's like, okay, you're keeping this thing in. How long is it going to be there? And I was like, no, it needs to be there for almost permanently now, you know.
Okay.
And he's like, but... and you'd be thinking
he's
70,
in his 70s.
He's in his 70s. He's a sexual being.
Yeah.
You know, and there's some, you know, if, for example, Freud and these philosophers or psychologists will tell you that we're sexual from birth to death. You know, I don't agree with the birth thing, but.
yeah, but I mean, like there are old, and old people are busy. If you find out about some of these old age homes, there's a lot of action going on there. It's disturbing, but it happens.
Sure.
Exactly. Yeah. My master's research was in the sexual field, and my supervisor, who's in her 50s. So I said, no, I'm going to do my, my participants will be up to the age of 40 because I think they're having the most sex. She's like, what? What do you think about us? Why are you leaving us out of this?
So you have to make it a bigger sample.
From 18 up until however old you are.
Wow.
So yeah. That's
it. I think this is going to be a fascinating show. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. I know you guys have already been doing this for a while, but now it's going to be on the Real Network. And I think it's going to be a real slam dunk. I'm looking forward to meeting all the doctors. So there are a group of you guys. Let's Talk Man. It's going to be starting right here on the Real Network soon. And Brendan's one of those doctors.
Yes.
Awesome.
Thanks for also getting us on.
Sure, man. I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I think it's going to be amazing. And Sims, you're involved.
Yes, I am. And I can tell you now that the doctors might give away a free BBL.
Oh, wow. Free BBL.
But you might get that. It. You might not watch the show.
I love that. I always wanted to give away breast augmentations and butt lifts and shit of mine. Now we finally get to do it here.
Well, I'm just saying, watch the first episode
to
understand what's going on.
Okay.
But yeah, that's what I'll leave you with.
I like it. Mm. Brendan, thanks so much, man.
Thanks.
Good to see you.
It's lovely to be here.
Thank you. Sims, have a good weekend.
I will.
Yeah, and don't stay here longer than one, hey?
Not doing
you
that.
And Flex told me he's getting out of here at 12, so.
Yeah, and no deodorant.
No. Amuse yourself in traditional ways, please, at home. Let's not be doing that, otherwise you're going to make Brendan's weekend shitty.
Yeah, please.
All right, everybody. Thank you. That is a wrap. We will see you on Monday, 6 a.m. Bye.